This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here with you for the noon hour this beautiful Willamette Valley day. As we say, we like to talk about local initiatives and individuals, and we've had some great individuals on this week, haven't we? We had Senator Jackie Winters here this week, and we had County Commissioner Kevin Cameron yesterday. That was a great show, and if you missed some of those, be sure to check out the podcasts. You can find them at kykn.com and look for the podcast for Newsmakers, and any of the shows or any of the guests you want to hear, you can just pop right in there, double-click on that, and listen to the Newsmakers from days past. Today, however, we have another guest, and I'd put this under characterize this as an initiative and some individuals who are driving it behind us. So in the studios here at KYKN, we have Dan Clem, and we have Mike Robertson for talk about United Gospel Mission and what's going on downtown Salem. It's been an issue for many, many years. It is a topic of conversation. It's a topic of notice as people go through downtown. And there's a huge community initiative that's going to change the lives of many people. And it's going to change the character of a couple of different blocks in our downtown and north downtown area. So welcome, Mike. Welcome to the studios.
Thank you, Brent.
Welcome, Dan.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to call you by your name all the time. We don't often have two guests, so I'll call you by the name so the listener can understand who's giving the answer. So, Mike, let's talk about you a little bit. I want the listener to understand who you are and your role with the United Gospel Mission, but also who you are in the community. So you own a little tiny business that's been here a couple of years, right?
We do. Yeah. You know, we've been the Chrysler Jeep dealership in town for about 57 years, since 61.
Wow, 57.
As a matter of fact.
Wow.
And so, you know, family business. My wife, Tammy, and Brett and Kim are part of our business, and there are a few other family members, too. So.
And Brett and Kim are part of the organization as well?
Yes.
Brett's the general motors, the general manager there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if a listener is not familiar, I don't know how you miss it, but your dealership's right there on Highway 22.
It is.
There. It's by the Costco, at least where Costco is right now, right? Until they move. And we've heard from Kurt Arthur, actually, in an earlier show, that even if Costco does move, they have interest in somebody else moving that property. So you wouldn't have to feel like, you know, you're neglected on that corner or anything. So Robertson Motors, and you've been involved in United Gospel Mission for how long now?
8 years.
8 years. So what drove you to get involved?
Well, you know, I guess that... You know, at some point you need to reevaluate your life changes and what you want to do to give back changes. And so Lee Clampy, who was board president, and I have been good friends for many years. And, you know, I ran into him every once in a while, but I asked him, you know, about the mission. He says, well, come on down and, you know, take a tour and see what you think. And so you know, it was
next thing you know, you're on the board, right?
Next thing I know, I'm on the board. But it was quite an emotional tour, and you know, it grabs your heart very quickly.
Indeed. And that was about 8 years ago, and you're currently serving as board treasurer, right?
Yes.
All right. So I'm not done talking about you because I want to make sure that the listener understands that we have somebody in the studios, you know, owned a local business for a long time. And multi-generational, and had a presence, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, you've made a living here, and you're also giving back here. And, you know, there's enough people in this industry or this community that think the business is the bad guy. So all these good things that do happen in the community, a lot of times it's a business person like yourself who's driving it or helping drive it and helping fund it. So I applaud you for that. So
thank you.
And hello to Tammy, Brett, and Kim. Used to go to Chamber of Commerce meetings. I remember Tammy the first day she showed up in a PT Cruiser. Yeah, and they were just being released. They were Chrysler and or Plymouth. Was it still Plymouth then?
Plymouth. Yeah.
Yeah. And she, outside, I've got one of these things. It was like the first one in town. Yeah. So that was pretty exciting. All right. So you're board treasurer for United Gospel Mission, and you're helping in this new initiative to grow the organization and build a new facility, which we're going to talk about. We've also got Dan Clem here in the studio. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Brent.
And a lot of the community is familiar with Dan. He's been played a number of different roles in our community for a long time. My favorite thing about Dan Clem is that he's an Army guy. So, full career in Army Reserves, right?
Yeah.
Active
and then active duty reserve. 21 years.
Wow.
2 months, 0 days.
Holy cow. A lot of people, if you just know Dan, he just, you know, he doesn't walk around in a uniform or anything, but you should know that about Dan Clem. A lot to respect there. And of course, he's been Chamber CEO and retired at least once. And then they just suck you back in.
They do.
Right? They suck you back in when you do some good work in the community. All right. So, back to Mike. So how is this thing governed? I mean, I don't know anything about it. Who owns United Gospel Mission? This is an organization. It's a local organization, national organization. And how does the local governance work?
You know, it's a local 501. And, you know, it's governed by a board of 9 people, chair, treasurer, and secretary. And, you know, we hire a CEO that, you know, is basically the general manager. Mm-hmm. And he directs 7 operations.
And you mentioned that before the show, and that was a surprise to me, actually, because we think in terms of the men's mission, right? When you think United Gospel Mission, it has a lot of presence, right? Just there off the bridge. So it has a lot of visibility. But there's more programs than that, right, Dan?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Certainly the men's mission downtown, and we'll talk later about the new project, what we call Hope as a New Address. So, but as well, the women's ministries at Simanka Place, named after George Simanka, here in Kaiser on River Road. Men's mission, about 200 guys a night needing shelter and food, and about 40 in our New Life Fellowship program, which is our recovery program. And then at the women's ministries, Simanka Place, there's about 100 gals a night and about 15 children a night. So we operate the 2 shelters as well as a transitional home over by, for men, over by the Oregon State Hospital, and another small home. So a couple of transitional homes, but a restoration house, which is a facility for men coming out of incarceration. And the difficulty of their ability to get a place to rent that's affordable. We work strongly with Marion County to schedule and house and feed and provide all the supports so that they can get assimilated back into society. So Restoration House, the old SEDCOR office building, is our small admin building. And we operate the Mission Thrift Store. We'd love to have your donations and have you shop right there in Commercial.
That is quite a coincidence. We had Kevin Cameron on yesterday, Commissioner of Marion County, and he was talking about the reentry program.
Yeah.
So it intersects with Human Gospel Mission as well. So we're on a theme this week.
Yep.
So thank you for that. We're talking to Dan Clem and with Mike Robertson about the Union Gospel Mission. And the big, big plans that's going to change a couple of different block faces in the city of Salem. And actually what it does and does not do, where it gets its mission, where it gets its funding, a lot of things to understand about local nonprofits, especially ones that have as much impact as Union Gospel Mission. So we're going to come back right back here after a quick break. We're going to talk about the mission, the operations, and of course dive into where's it going. Well, what's his future and how we're going to raise enough money to get it done. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. You're listening to Newsmakers on KYKN 1430. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. Dave Borden is with me here in the 1430 KYKN studios.
Hey.
And hey, Dave. He has given up his microphone today so we could talk to Dan and Mike. Dan Clem and Mike Robertson about the United Gospel Mission. And this is going to be something that is enormous in the area. And we like to talk about things that Well, this is an institution, and things that are ideas and initiatives to change the face of Salem and to make it a better place. And these gentlemen have been doing it for a long time. So, Mike, you said something before the show that really struck me, and I said, if there's nothing else that you say this whole hour, it's what it's about. We were talking about, you know, hey, who is UGM, United Gospel Mission, and what is it that we do? And you put it into two phrases, which I guess is, I would assume is a catchphrase of sorts, a certain rules to live by. Hopelessness to hope, right? Hopelessness to hope, and hopefully then on to faith, right?
Absolutely.
Because people coming in the doors, they probably are lacking a little bit in hope.
They are.
So
I would say every one of them that comes through the door is, you know, homeless, hopeless, and looking for a way out of, you know, that revolving door.
Kind of a cycle of addiction and homelessness.
Yeah.
And like, okay, so tell us, somebody walks in. You said you had an emotional journey when you came.
Absolutely.
And witnessed. And I assume you heard some stories. Someone's walking in the door for the first time. What's the desired outcome? I mean, obviously, they're just not there for you guys to be a soup kitchen. I think it's in your words, right?
Yeah.
You just want to feed them and bed them and have them do the same thing forever, right? What's the desired outcome? What's the mission?
Well, the desired outcome, and you know, I have many. We could probably talk for several days about, maybe hours, about the many outcomes. But, you know, not only do we shelter, but you know, once they're sheltered and fed and warmed up, you know, there's an opportunity to talk with a counselor to see, you know, where they are at. You know, some people just want to come in and out, but also we can kind of drill down and see, you know, what their life is like and what they want to do. So, other than from the shelter standpoint, and being able to stay overnight and up to, you know, we don't kick anybody out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're there if they want to be there, as long as, you know, there's some rules.
Right.
However, and so, but it, then it goes into the, if they say they want to make a change in their life, then we have the New Life Fellowship program that, is about a 15-month program.
Wow, that's a commitment.
That you know, we help stabilize their health. We help break them of self-centered behavior, whatever that is, alcohol, drugs, you know, other behaviors. We then get them in a program to where, you know, they start putting a spiritual life together.
Do you find sometimes that is a deterrent for some of the people that don't want to hear the message?
Sure.
It does. That
absolutely
does happen. Okay.
Absolutely. But then if they choose to get into the New Life Fellowship program, then it's a, like I say, it's a 15-month, you know, we put them in a cocoon. We take them, you know, off the street. You know, they're in a separate dormitory from the, you know, the day shelter people. And so we have sources that we use in the community to get them stabilized as far as, you know, health. You know, if they're a veteran, get them, you know.
Veteran services, great.
Get them to veteran services to get them stabilized that way. Then they go start putting their lives back together, getting back in touch with reality and what it's like in real life, and mm-hmm. how we prepare them in this way. You know, it's, you know, they go through Dave Ramsey's financial mm-hmm. program. They go through a training program to get them up to speed, whether it's, you know, basic education, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, you know, up to we have a computer lab that they can get back in touch with, you know what's going on,
right,
you
right.
know, which I probably need to go through myself. we have a great instructor there just does a wonderful job in teaching these guys, you know, the ropes of how to get back into society.
Wow, there's a lot more things involved in United Gospel Mission than feeding them a meal and also housing them and getting them out of the cold for the homeless. Wow, I think we could spend a whole hour just on those and some outcomes, and maybe come back and have a guest.
Yeah. One more thing is that once they get through the 15-month program, and if you've never been to a graduation, you should. It's quite an emotional roller coaster. But also, thereafter, you know, we have a grant program that allows these men and women to go back to school at Chemeketa, 2-year program that's funded with a stipend, and, you know.
So there really is opportunity for those to choose the path. There is.
It is.
There is a lot of help there out there in those programs. I'm going to turn to Dan Clem, the director. So some of the more operational things. Thank you, Mike Robertson, for that. As far as how many people you're serving, how many people you employ. And you've already told us about 7 different facilities. And obviously, Mike was describing how they might go from one to the other.
Right. So
how many jobs are there to help serve all these people?
Sure. Brent, the Union Gospel Mission is really a separate organization. It's not part of a national. So this was created by Salem businessmen back in 1953. So for 65 years, 365 days a year, 3 meals a day, faithful donors and volunteers have really sustained the mission. But right now, we'll run anywhere from 60 to 65 employees.
Wow.
Because we are sheltering at least 300 people a night during the winter. But the counseling is a vital part of that. So we serve about 834 men last year. That's unduplicated, meaning just the same guy came in every day. That's one. But
okay.
About 510 women a year as well. But we're serving over 23,000 meals a year. And Brent, this community loves the Union Gospel Mission because almost every bit of that food is donated.
Wow.
We have tremendous, tremendous businesses and individuals in this city. The Salem Convention Center, you go to a big event there and you know what? Our men are eating great food about 2 hours later if you don't eat it. But Willamette Dining Facility, Roth's a tremendous supporter of us. So I will tell you that this really is the community's Union Gospel Mission. When you look at, you know, the employees, that's one number. But when you think about 23,000 meals a year, all coming from local businesses. It's tremendous. Starbucks, I could keep going on and give them all airtime.
Where else do the operational funds come from? So a lot of food donated, but...
Donors.
Local donors, because this is a local organization.
Folks who just care and know that we're making a difference in people's lives continue to donate. So I don't want to sound like it's about the money, but it really does help us sustain and serve literally thousands of people a year, and as well, a lot of all the funds are donation. They're private funds. The only small source of income that comes in is from Marion County to help subsidize the men in their first couple months in Restoration House. Other than that, we take. I don't want to be prideful saying we don't take government money, but we're very, very grateful that this community really is done so much to take care of the less fortunate.
Well, with so many stories in America about how cruel a society can be or is alleged to be, it's sure nice to have a hometown story about, would you say 60, how many years, that the community has been feeding so many individuals and helping them find a path. And so it is a faith-based organization, clearly. Is it tied to any denomination?
Our sign out front says it all. Jesus saves. Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 28. So, you know, that's what we're about. And chapel's not mandatory. I think that's an old myth. This is all based on the willingness of men and women who just want to change. When you hit bottom, all you got to do is look up. And when you wake up in the morning and you sober up, we want to be the first face you see.
All right, let's talk real quick about volunteers. Do you have a number of volunteers? Does it come seasonally? Do you have regular volunteers? How can people in the community plug themselves in if they're not in a position to write a check?
We generally have about 3,000 volunteers a year. They come in and they'll conduct chapel services. We've got the Trinity Sisters who come in every Tuesday and they scoop up lunch for the men. They've been doing that for 13 years. So I will tell you that over half of our volunteers have been doing it for more than 5 years. We're always in need of Sunday school groups or folks who want to come in and help with chapel service. But to come into the store, help us sort items, get stuff ready. And we donate move-in boxes to the city's homeless assistance program. So helping us put that together. You know, we really are a volunteer organization, more so than anything else.
So the store, North Commercial, that's a revenue generator for you guys.
It is. It's not big. The idea is to be able to provide the items that people donate to people who have needs. So that's our primary focus.
All right. I hope you're learning a lot about the Union Gospel Mission. Mike Robertson and Dan Clem, our guests in the studios here today. And now we're gonna talk about moving it. We're gonna build a bigger facility, right? The community's gonna get this thing done. I see a lot of determination in the room, and we're going to talk about that after the next break. But we're looking at doubling the capacity, moving the whole facility. So we're going to talk about the disposition of the existing facility, where it's moved to, who likes it, who doesn't like it, and how you'll be able to help more people get them off the street and into productive. And hopefully we'll have time. I want to dive a little bit more back into, you mentioned the New Life Fellowship Program. And that sounds like the path where we go from hopelessness to hope to faith to productivity and independence. That sounds like a great mission. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne. You're listening to Newsmakers every weekday at noon. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. We have two of Salem's fine gentlemen here in the studios with us today. We're talking about UGM, United Gospel Mission, a Salem staple for 65 years, I think you said. Mm-hmm. And there's huge news. So hopefully you might be aware, you've seen it in news articles or heard about it, that the UGM's plans to move, to build a new facility. It's a huge undertaking, this desire to increase the number of people that can serve and so on and so forth. And we'll hopefully have time before the hour's up to talk, dive a little bit more about their New Life Fellowship program and how people go from hopeless, to having skills and getting plugged into local employers and things like that. So that's a great mission. But Dan, I'm going to start with you. What's the goal and what's the timeline as far as UGM's move?
Well, we're very excited that we've been, UGM has been working on building a new men's mission and moving out of downtown for 25 years. Actually, city council hearing in 1993. So what has happened is we've been blessed with all the parcels on the block across the street from the new Salem Police Department.
Mm-hmm. North Commercial.
North Commercial. So there on the east side, the new men's mission, Hope Has a New Address, will be on the west side of Commercial. So as you're coming into town off the parkway on the Commercial, you're going to see beautiful facility for public safety on the left and beautiful facility for restoration and new life on the right. And the new men's mission will move, technically 5 blocks north of its current location. The current men's mission, it's been a wonderful testimony for 65 years, but the building's fallen apart, and we're about new life. Kind of hard to do that in a crumbling building that costs a lot to operate.
What are you going to do with the building?
We've already sold it.
Oh.
We've sold it to the City of Salem for $1.575 million.
Oh,
City of Salem has put a down payment on it, and we've already signed closing documents. We just haven't put a date on the closing yet.
Not to be persnickety, but did you sell it to the City of Salem, or did you sell it to the Urban Renewal Agency?
We sold it to the City of Salem's Urban Renewal Agency.
Okay. For those listeners, you know, are persnickety about these dividing lines of governance. This or that. Oh, very interesting. Will there be a consolidation on that block? And obviously,
The
disposition of the
Urban
block.
Development will also buy the other south end of the block where Saffron Supply is now. And once they've concluded that, they're pretty much waiting for us to build a new mission and move out. So dirt turning October 1st this year, Lord willing, and completion December 31st, 2020.
Wow. So just over a year of construction schedule. and you get a full operations in the meantime. Are you going to consolidate any of your seven programs in this new facility, or just be doing administration and the men's mission?
We will be consolidating lower costs. We'll move administration in with the men's mission, as well as our work therapy programs, and double the size of our learning center. So that way we'll be able to serve more people. But the idea with the new men's mission will be to, instead of serving 150 men a night, we'll be able to serve up to 300 in the new facility, as wow. well as move from what's been largely a sheltering program and about 40 guys in the restoration program, the New Life Fellowship. The new Hope has a new address will allow us to be able to shelter 300 men a night, with 80 of them being in the New Life Fellowship program. So we know that transformation of life is really necessary for the community and for the individuals. So this will not only allow us to double the amount of men that we... So we think there's about 300 men per night on the street now. So it's not like we're trying to overbuild here. We're building to what the need has been for years. Well, you may not have seen it.
It's more visible than ever.
It's more visible than ever. And quite, you know, we're trying to meet today's needs with what's happening today. And we're designing the building such that we can make alterations and turn more of the space into... recovery program space, so it'll be flexible. But that third floor that will be on that will all be, it'll allow us to separate the men in the recovery program from the men in the shelter program. Right now they live right next to each other, so the guy who's been there for a year, you know, finding faith and new life and having gone through classes on shame and false beliefs and life management skills, he's sleeping essentially next to the guy who stumbled in that night. So the new men's mission will really allow us to be much more effective in the folks who do want to move forward, and they'll be all on one floor with their own facility. So we're not trying to segregate them, but we're certainly wanting to separate them so that the guys who do want to move forward aren't drawn back into...
All right, which one of you wants to talk about the cost of the new facility and where the money's coming from?
You know, Dan's on a roll.
Dan's on a roll.
The entire campus, Brent, is a $15 million campus. We are conducting a number of fundraisers, working with a lot of donors. This spring, you'll see the public launch of the campaign to help finish it up. But right now, we're at about $8.7 million. That includes the money that the city would pay related to the sale. And we're hoping to wrap fundraising up this summer.
Wow. And when you say wrap up fundraising, do you mean to get it down to a level where you'll have debt, or you'll have no debt on the building?
No debt. Wow. No debt. $15 million.
That's... So what's the contingency plan, Mr. Board Member Treasurer?
Contingency? I don't think there is one.
We
have to get this done, and you know it's all about saving lives, one person at a time, and we've seen a lot of life saves, a lot of miracles. I mean, it's nothing that I would consider would be something that man can do.
Right.
These are true miracles. We've got a lot of those stories.
Well, I would love to see a situation in Salem where you didn't have any customers, right? Wouldn't that be nice to have to shut it
Amen.
Down?
Cause
Amen.
Work ourselves out of it.
But as we know, as he said, the poor will always be with us. And sometimes it is to inspire us, to teach us humility and good works and charity and fellowship.
Amen. Well, and to give them dignity and respect.
Yeah.
Because that's what Salem is about.
You know, one of our first shows, actually, was the founder of Sackcloth and Ashes. Dave's nodding. He remembers that show. And how much it was about looking at homeless as, let's look at them as a human being. Let's look at them with the eye of, I respect this person as a human being. And start with that as a foundation of where we're going to go for this.
Yep.
Really interesting. Really interesting. All right. So you're going to break ground in October and be done 15 months later. Okay, and be done fundraising by the middle of next summer.
Of this summer.
This summer. Oh my gosh! Yes, this is 2019. Welcome to 2019, Brent. All right. So we have to say somebody's listening and they want to help. Where should they reach out? To the website? Should they go to website? Is there a portal through which people can give?
Absolutely. Our website, UGMSalem.org. There's donate, like all nonprofits, there's an ability to donate, but there's ability to volunteer. And in there, we'd love to have you come down for a discovery lunch. We conduct two discovery lunches, generally on Tuesdays, 11:45 to 1 p.m. You can come into the men's mission or the women's mission and see the work, see the people, have a better understanding of really how lives are being transformed and how people are being cared for by our staff, but really by a lot of volunteers. I will tell you that the discovery lunch will help you see the joy that's inside the building. What you see outside the men's mission is not what's going on. We've repainted it. We've repurposed what we do have. We need to develop our way into the new missions as a staff and in a lot of our processes. So we're learning from a lot of other nonprofits about what are the latest counseling techniques. How do we stay on the forward edge? We want to be the best recovery center in the United States. And so come down to the men's mission. Show up at the store and say, I want to volunteer. Certainly write out a check and donate. We still have a long way to go, and anything you can do to
help.
Once
you get Dan started.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes.
He did say that earlier.
Yeah, so.
I warned you.
Actually.
Salem needs to do this. So.
You know, that's the great thing about so many of our guests is they come in with a passion for what they're doing. You know, just a passion for what they're doing, and it shows in your voice. And so. You made a mistake of not repeating it. So that website address, again, is with your radio voice. Give it the radio voice.
UGMSalem.org.
Oh, that sounds like an FM night show or something, right? That's UGMSalem.org. Is there a place for somebody who has $50 or $100 they can give every month this year, right?
Yeah. There's a donate button there, and we'll certainly send you information, or you can donate online. But
okay.
Just give us your name, address, and or your email address, and we'll get you hooked up.
All right. Hopelessness to hope. That is terrific. So it'll be. I had a question about the location. Yeah. Has there been any community pushback, bad PR, people who are unhappy about the location, and where it's going?
Well, that's in the past, Brent.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We've the full. Land use issues have been supported unanimously by City Council. There was an appeal, and that appeal was answered, and City Council affirmed that that's where the men's mission should move to, or at least they approved the application. And there were concerns about size and operations, mm-hmm. and, you know, that really did provide us an opportunity to tweak our plan. So we don't, you know, at the time it felt like opposition, but... Yeah, God's hand is in the details, and so we're very appreciative. We have one other small land use matter to bring forward, to include the two parcels that we didn't own at the time. They're very small, and so we'll be seeing that in the springtime. But
okay, so how does someone go about designing a facility like this? I mean, who do you go to?
There are architectural firms that design missions and churches. And C.D. Redding is constructing the new men's mission. They know how to do this.
Indeed.
It's highly thought of. And we've got, our architect said, hey, you've got, we had obviously three bidders, but you've got great firms here in Salem. Any one of them would do a great job. So hats off to the other bidders as well. But Yeah,
good. Well, thank
local,
you for that.
Local engineering firms, all the subservices beyond lead design are all local here in Salem and Kaiser.
And C.D. Redding, what a great local commercial contractor. I know that they built my church home, and they've built a lot of different kind of structures. So good choice there, and good luck to C.D. Redding. So two great things are going to happen. You have a brand new facility in North Commercial, and in the heart of downtown, we have an opportunity for rebirth on a whole block.
Absolutely.
Right? And we talk about the excitement of redevelopment and an opportunity for this mission to complete its mission at this address and move and open up a new possibility. Yep. We're going to be back in just a minute. You're listening to 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. Our guests in the studio today, Mike Robertson, Robertson Motors, and also the treasurer of United Gospel Mission Salem, and we have the director of United Gospel Mission Salem, Dan Clem. So many more things to talk about. We only have a few more minutes. Mike, you were mentioning during the break that there are some champions who are trying to lead this effort for the fundraising drive. So who are the chairing? Who's chairing this thing?
Absolutely. It's two car dealers and, you know, a ex-Supreme Court judge. So, you know, we're very blessed to have Dick Whitnell and Paul DeMunis with us as co-chairs with me. And I'm the weak link. But we're so glad that they've come aboard and help steer this huge project. And also, our steering committee is made up of, you know, quite a number of people that have just done a great job to help us open doors and get our story, which we've just been through today, out to those that probably didn't have a clue what we stand for.
Yeah, and what you're doing and all the programs. I'm kind of blown away. Actually, we were talking about, you know, your connections with Shemeketa, get people grants, you said, or credits to go to Shemeketa for free and teach them some education on some computer skills. And we didn't mention, but there's also a GED program.
We're one of two GED facilities in town.
Wow.
Shemeketa being the other.
It's overwhelming. Dan, I'm going to turn to you. In terms of how many partners do you work with? I mean, you're dealing with recovery, right? Alcohol mm-hmm. addiction and drug addiction. You're done sometimes with mental health.
Right.
And homelessness and education and feeding and housing and transitioning and employers and getting them jobs, right?
Yeah.
You can't do all that. UGM can't do that all themselves.
Yeah. No. We've got, I'm just going to list them real quick. I mean, through our Valley Employment Service that we partner with 50 other employers so that when the guys are ready to, we want to get them working and filled with purpose again as soon as possible. So in the New Life Fellowship Program, we start with some internships, both at the mission and with some of these employers. But as well, we're tied up with Easter Seals and finding veterans jobs. We've got partnerships with Northwest Human Services. These are all our people. And so whether they walk in their doors or our doors, we've developed a couple of ways to streamline that if any of their clients need clothing, that they get vouchers and come on over and get clothing at the store. As well as I mentioned earlier, our partnership with the city's homeless rental assistance program, the Marion County with Restoration House. But I will tell you, strong working relationships in helping the men assess what their issues are and getting the help with the Oregon or Salem Health Psych Unit with Marion County mental health departments and Polk County health departments. I mean, we've got direct dial relationships with the folks who can get the help right away, as well as we're sitting down with CASA to better understand domestic violence counseling at Samanca Place where the ladies are. That place has been here for 50 years. And so we're excited about deepening that partnership, but as well with CASA. A lot of our men, most of them are a father or a dad or a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when the women start the recovery program, they just want their kids back. The men don't really start that way. But I will tell you, the men at the end of their 16 months, they want to be good boyfriends again. They want to be good husbands again. And so there's a lot of family counseling that's really recently started to happen.
I did have one question regarding that. And so obviously you're serving women, you're serving children, you're serving men. Are any of them part of the same family group?
We've got a couple of couples where the husband went through the program and the wife was still addicted. And then she came into the program and we've reunited. I've been there 18 months, probably five to six couples and families restored. And I only see, you know, a glimpse of what goes on. So I will tell you, by restoring men and women, we're restoring families. And it's really amazing to see crazy on the street to crazy about their family, crazy about their community again. So
you talked about the graduation. Actually, Mike talked about the graduation ceremony. And between that and the reunification of families, that's tear-inducing right there. That's going to be really emotional.
We'll invite you. Yeah.
So it's not at the lunchtime because I'm in the studios at lunch, so I can't do the Discovery Lunch, but someone who has interest in seeing what you're all about can come to the Discovery Lunch.
At either Simanka Place or Men's Mission, we'd love to have
Who knows, the next week they might come back and start serving lunch.
Hey.
To some of the less
advantaged. You know, it's very easy to just start by scooping food. And then you get to really realize the men in front of you are folks that you want to get to know. So.
Well, I tell you, I really have a lot of respect for you guys are doing in the community. We try to spotlight that here at KYKN. You listen about local initiatives and ideas and individuals and the humility. Mike is you're soft-spoken. You're a soft-spoken, thoughtful gentleman, and here he is, and he's giving of himself. And I didn't know this, as Mike's been around. I don't know if you were there on the day it opened 56 years ago, but you work every day at Robertson Motors, right? Yeah. You're working every day, and he's still putting time in to help the least fortunate of those in our community.
Do we have one more minute?
We have about one more minute.
Me. You know, I just want to our business needs to thank the Union Gospel Mission for several men that have been with us for 5 years. Oh. They're productive. These guys were professionals. Just had a midlife crisis, went through the New Life Fellowship program. The other went through just shelter, and were hooked up with us. And it's amazing the turnaround in their lives. We get to celebrate that every day.
Wow. All right, so I'm going to give you, in 30 seconds or less, hit the spots that a gentleman walks in the door to finishing the New Life Fellowship. I mean, what are the steps that they're going to go through? You got a half a minute.
Yeah, well, we greet them. We befriend them. That's the very first thing. Nothing happens till somebody has a friend or trust. So I will tell you, there's obviously getting them sheltered, getting them fed, getting them clean clothes, get them through laundry, and then sit down and assess what the issues are and get on them right away. You know, nobody's going to change if they don't see a friend and if they don't see immediate help, some immediate counseling. It may be counseling. Medicine that they need, but I will tell you, they go through a candidate phase where they can grow into making the decision whether or not they want to change their lives. So we have a candidate phase. And then they start the program. And the first class they go through is shame. 6 weeks of a bunch of guys in a room lying to each other till they're done lying. And so that's really the starting place in terms of the formal program, but as well, a lot of prayer, a lot of chapel time, and just having mentors come alongside of them right away.
All right, this is what I heard, Dan. I heard you get them clean and fed.
Yep.
Get them safe, clean, and fed. Clothes, we didn't even mention clothes but once, but that's got to be a huge key. All right, clean and fed. Then counseled and medication and education. I missed transformation in there somewhere. Medication,
it
education,
comes.
And then job.
It comes.
And then self-sufficient, right? And self-pride and family reunification.
When they're ready.
What a great mission. Take a lot of pride in what you guys are doing and support. So thank you for doing that, and thank you to everybody who's listening, who is a contributor for UGM, who works for UGM, and that who volunteers for UGM. And see if you can get on board and make this thing happen. We're going to have a brand new block downtown to redevelop, and we're going to have a brand new facility for Union Gospel Mission to serve twice as many people as they do now. Thanks for being with us on Newsmakers this noon hour. This has been 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.